Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to A Sound Heart Radio. And let me say that I do appreciate your listenership and support of this radio ministry. And this morning's subject is spiritual psychosis and the dialectic of absurdity in post-Western culture. Now, I'm going to be reading this morning from the great 8th century prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah ministered during similar times. So I want to communicate this morning that human nature changes very little, or has changed very little over the centuries, over the millennia. And so Jeremiah was involved in the same environment, the same milieu in which we find ourselves today. But, of course, there are some differences due to the, let me say, sophistication of postmodern brainwashing techniques, disinformation, misinformation, and wealth, etc. So we have an environment in which individuals are highly manipulated and therefore do not have the ability to understand what is going on in the environment and why. It is deliberately done in this way in order to keep people off balance and confused. But individuals do not understand that there is a huge and malevolent cult behind what is going on today. Now, Jeremiah ministered during a time of a spiritual crisis among his people. And there was also a great religious cult in his time that he battled against. And we say idols today. And in ancient Hebrew, the term idol literally means or meant nothingness. So Jeremiah ministered to people who had left God. And because they had left Yahweh and the covenant of Yahwism, they experienced a change, a significant spiritual change in their lives. And because it was their connection with God that kept them whole, that kept them balanced. It was God who gave them what they needed for their lives. And so they experienced their own wellness from God. And so they turned their backs on the wholeness that Yahweh provided for them, which proved to be detrimental to their spiritual well-being. They turned to the worship of idols. They turned to highly sexualized cults that took away from them what Yahweh had given to them. So having done this act or this particular action, they begin to experience that it's disintegration in their own personalities. And so their spiritual psychosis was a result of turning from God and not realizing or not seeing what this decision, particular decision, had meant for their lives. So I want to share with you some of the prophet Jeremiah's experience during his time of ministry. Jeremiah's name means the Lord exalts or the Lord establishes. He is the prophet of renewal and hope. But the keynote of his ministry is concept. He is of the tribe of Benjamin. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, it reads as follows. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. So Jeremiah was of the we are given the time of his ministry so that we can date it easily, and we are given an understanding as to the time of his ministry. At the end of verse 3, we read that we're given information about the time of the exile. So in chapter 1, we also have the call of Jeremiah. And in verse 4, we read, the word of the Lord came to me. That is Jeremiah. And we have a verb of being here. The word came in Hebrew is hayah, and it means happened. So the word of the Lord happened to Jeremiah. Now, I said in yesterday's show that the term that was used in Ezekiel is Debar Yahweh, which means the word of the Lord. And so the word of God is presented as an event, as a unique happening in history, which placed the Nabi or the prophet in a new situation. And so we get to understand that the prophet oftentimes comes in a time of crisis before the people of God. He comes in a time of crisis. And it is important to state that at the beginning, as we have here in Jeremiah's call. So the call narrative is common to the prophets and why they were called and the nature of their ministry and to whom they ministered. This was never an easy task. It was always filled with danger and difficulty, particularly in the case, of Jeremiah. And he will have conflict even from the people of his own town as they would seek to take his life. And so he must rely completely on Yahweh. His safety would be dependent completely upon Yahweh. And he would face danger, personal danger, murderous threats, intrigue, etc., would all be a part of his ministry. So verse 5, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, the Hebrew culture is radically different from Western culture. The narrative here is concrete. The narrative here speaks of foreknowledge. It speaks of predestination. It also speaks of election. And so it is important that this is established for both for Jeremiah's ministry and for us to see the divine essence at work in his life in a specific manner. And then in the following verse, the 6, we read, "Ah, Sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." Now, we've discussed this in seminary when we were going through the Old Testament prophets, and Professor stated that at this time, a child, or as the term is used here, can be an individual between the ages of 2 and 40 years old. And so Jeremiah was attempting to plead his case for not being or not doing his ministry because he said, I am a child. And the Lord confronts his reluctance by saying, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And so the call narratives have particular nuances in each of them. And here, the prophet's reluctance, as it was the reluctance of Jonah, as was the reluctance of Moses, is something, it is commonplace, in other words. But the call narrative is nevertheless very, very powerful. God says to him in verse 9, then we read, the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. If you remember in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was told to eat the scroll. He was to akel, in Hebrew, he was to eat the word of God. He was to build his life on the word of God. He was to eat. He was to masticate. He was to allow to chew the word of God. And it will become a spiritual bolus, as it were, going down into his being. And there it would become a part of him. He must, in other words, metabolize the word of God. And that is something very important to understand. It is not a mere intellectual understanding that we are to have of the word of God, a mere cognitive awareness of some things related to the word of God. We are to metabolize truth. But to metabolize it, it has become a part of us. We're to depend upon the word as food. Jesus said in John's Gospel, I am the Amiot, I am the bread of life. He uses the great I am formula of Exodus 3:14. I am the bread of life. Jesus also said in John's Gospel, I am great I am formula, I am the water of life. And he calls himself living water in John chapter 4, living water. Very powerful, very wonderful. we need to reclaim these truths. And they need to be an essential part of our spiritual walk. Jeremiah was reluctant to go into ministry. He did not want this ministry because he knew the people to whom God sent him. He knew these people. He knew what they were like. He knew that these individuals were indeed involved in spiritual psychosis. Now, so according to the National Alliance on Mental Health or the National Alliance on Mental Illness, this is their definition of psychosis. Quote, an episode of psychosis is when a person has a break from reality and involves seeing, hearing, and believing things that are not real. Another definition read, unquote, another definition reads, quote, psychosis is a set of symptoms, the symptoms here are undefined, or they say that the symptoms are unique to the individual. Psychosis is a set of symptoms that involve a person's mind playing tricks on him or her, unquote. So these are not scientific definitions. They cannot be scientific definitions. So accordingly, they are quarterly definitions based on astute observation of a number of individuals who fit a certain algorithm or criteria. So state or an episode of psychosis is when a person has a break from reality, whatever that means, whatever the term break means. And so who defines what break from reality means? And seeing, it involves seeing, hearing, and believing things that are not real. Well, what happens if this is created by the individual? And in this case, we have spiritual psychosis that is a result of tearing oneself away from God and living a life that is contrary, living in a manner that is outside one's understanding or the revealed will of God. And so, as a result, fragmentation of the personality occurs, the breakdown of the will, the breakdown of the heart that is a spiritual part of man, of the individual, the breakdown of the will, the emotions, the sensibilities, etc. In order to, the individual shapes himself or herself around a particular idol or a particular form of idolatry. And when the personality shapes itself around a particular form of a worship that is contrary to the revealed will of God, well, at some point, this takes over and hardens, and the individual begins to think in a way that is self-defeating, and that is self-destructive. Jeremiah witnessed this. He saw this in the lives of his people. Von Rad, the great Old Testament theologian, Von Rad wrote of Jeremiah, his thoughts constantly revolve around the tremendous bondage in which man is the prisoner, own opposition to God. And that is a very poignant and powerful statement. Once again, Von Rad states of Jeremiah, his thoughts constantly revolve around the tremendous bondage in which man is the prisoner of his own opposition to God. And so when one studies Jeremiah, one is taken into this particular incident of spiritual psychosis, and the dialectic of absurdity, because now there is no meaning to their lives. The individuals are frustrated, they are angry. They walk beside themselves. In the Greek, James uses the term dysoukos, to speak of an individual who walks beside himself. Dysoukos. And so we see this in the Old Testament. We see that people become thin, pale. When personalities are fragmented, people cannot relate to themselves, and so therefore they cannot relate to others. And they most certainly cannot have a significant relationship with God. And so the Imago Dei, the image of God, is snuffed out within the personality. And individuals suffer as a result thereof significantly. And so when we toss out the Imago Dei, that is the image of God in man, when we toss out the man's inner being, that is the soul, and say that the soul or the invisible part of the individual is merely the result of the electrochemical work of the synapses, and that consciousness is merely the result of the synapses, and then when the individual dies or when the brain stops and the heart stops, the electrical activity of the heart and the brain stops, the individual is termed dead. There's no recognition of soul or personality. This is said to vanish. And so we have the convenient materialism in the West, which is a philosophical position. Jeremiah faced people who knew that they had abandoned God, who had left God because they wanted something other than God. So they invested themselves in the cult of the flesh, in the cult of this form of materialism. And so their lives became absurd, and they had teachers who told them that they had made the right choice, and Jeremiah had to face those teachers who would not look at the wounds in the lives of the people of God left by sin. And so the people wanted to believe lies, and so the teachers taught them lies that they wanted to believe because their personalities had been compromised because they had forsaken the truth and they had become the people of a lie. Now, let me go on. In chapter 1, verse 17, God says to Jeremiah, "Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them." And so Jeremiah has a difficult ministry calling that demanded extraordinary courage. And Yahweh will bless him, and Yahweh will take care of him during his ministry. Let me give you some examples of their behavior. In chapter 2, Israel forsakes God. And so God sues his people. But he starts with legal discovery. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. In other words, we become what we heard. They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. It is always that way. We become what we behold. Now, Yahweh's people prospered when they looked only to him for all their needs. We are cured and cleansed when we follow the Lord and obey him. However, we incur an incurable wound when we follow that which is less than the Lord. And so in verse 9 of chapter 2, we read these faithful words. Therefore, I bring charges against you, declares the Lord. So in verse 6, there's legal discovery, and God does his investigation of his people. In verse 9, then God files charges against his people. The Hebrew word here for charges is rib, R-I-B. And so, in other words, God is suing his people because they had broken their covenant that they had made with him. The covenant was ratified by their assent, by the agreement. They said collectively that all that the Lord has asked we will do. It was offer and acceptance. They broke the covenant. And so God is going to deal with them for their rebellion and then breaking of the covenant. Verse 11, has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glory, their kabod, an Old Testament word. The word glory, kabod, means the weight of God. Very powerful. But my people have exchanged their glory for worthless idols. God called upon the heavens in verse 12. Be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. So God says they have forsaken me, and they have hewn out for them, they have dug their own cisterns or well. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So Jeremiah uncovers and he speaks about their irrational thinking. Verse 22, Jeremiah talks about their self-righteous behavior. In verse 24, verses 27 and 28, Jeremiah talks about their paradoxical thinking. I always want you to see, if you go in and read these verses or the first chapters of Jeremiah, note in chapter 2, it says, in spite of all this, in spite of all that you do, you say, I am innocent, and he is not angry with me. And so we see their break with reality. We see their paradoxical thinking. We see their irrational thinking. We see that they have broken the covenant, and they have become joined to idols, and they can no longer perceive the darkness within. I will continue with this subject on tomorrow's show. Have a great morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.